Welcome to the Natural Health 365 podcast, natural solutions for everyday problems. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit naturalhealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. And now, here's your host, Jonathan Landsman.
All right, thank you for joining us. Our show today, Eliminating Stress with the Science of Yoga. We all understand the potential negative effects of stress. Job pressures, financial issues, poor health, or relationships can have a devastating influence on our life, or it can be viewed as an opportunity to make great changes. Get this. According to the American Psychological Association, the Stress in America survey results show that adults continue to report high levels of stress. For example, 75% of adults reported experiencing moderate to high levels of stress in the past month, and nearly half reported that their stress has increased in the past year. Stress is even a top health concern for United States teenagers between 9th and 12th grade. And at such an early stage in life, very few children get the opportunity to learn how to properly deal with difficult situations. Today on the Natural Health 365 podcast, we'll focus our attention on better ways to deal with stress, because if we don't, eventually we can pay the price with poor health. Before we meet our special guests, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. And now, please join me in welcoming Leonard Perlmutter, founder and director of the American Meditation Institute, to our show. Leonard, welcome.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you for the invitation.
It's my pleasure. The mission of your institute is to teach the science of yoga. Talk to us about why.
Well, yoga is actually a science. It's the oldest form of mind-body medicine, as well as the basis of every religion. And it sets forth a hypothesis that in order to experience happiness and health, security, the science of yoga provides all of us a philosophical and a scientific template for seeking and discovering the truth. But in order to begin the practice of yoga science, we really first have to make a decision. We have to decide that we're willing to use our own mind-body-sense complex as our personal laboratory in which to undertake scientific experiments. Then, in the midst of every relationship that requires an action that will bring about a consequence that can either bring us closer to the health and happiness and security that we desire, or will delay the prospect, in the midst of every relationship, we're given a tool called the bridge of yoga that is then to be employed to discover and verify or refute what some might say is the truth. And so yoga really is a wonderful way of making conscious, discriminating choices. In our conversation earlier, before we were on air, you used a phrase that I found interesting. You're talking about eliminating stress through meditation. Well, through meditation and yoga science, the way that we eliminate stress, really, is not to eliminate it, but really to transform it. Because stress, we experience stress how? We experience stress by the way we think about things. So Epictetus, a philosopher in ancient Greece, says the problem that we have as human beings is not what's happening outside in our lives, it's what we think about what's happening in our lives. And stored in the unconscious mind is a tremendous reservoir of fear and anger and selfish desires, these contractive and debilitating forms of energy. And I was in fifth grade, maybe fourth grade, in science class, where I learned that energy cannot be created nor destroyed, but it can be transformed. And my experience through yoga science is that just like in fifth grade, in the laboratory of my classroom, just like that experience where I could transform a solid ice cube into liquid water and then heat up the liquid water into a gas, a vapor, I now, through yoga science, can transform the debilitating and contractive power of fear and anger and selfish desires into strategic reserves of a healing energy, greater willpower, and much more creativity in the midst of every relationship. That's the kind of science that has gotten my attention, and that's why I have spent now 40, 41 years practicing and teaching others what I have learned.
Yeah, Leonard, I've listened to some of your presentations. You're a great communicator and helping us to get a little bit more insight, maybe looking at things a little differently, which is basically what you were just talking about. For me, my background is not so heavily as an expert in meditation, although I do that each morning, or even yoga for that matter. My background is in exercise physiology, high-performance athletics, and I tell you, it's a very similar in a sense of what you were just talking about, if I could just make a comment, get your feedback on it, that through high-performance athletics, I've noticed personally and when I try to teach others as well, that, I mean, don't get me wrong, Leonard, I'm the first one to admit I love to just lay around and relax in the sun and just have a nice time with that, but I think at a certain point, if that easy, comfortable life that if that were given to me every single minute of my day, I even would venture to say I'd probably get very bored. I'd probably go a little out of my mind with things being that easy and that sweet and relaxing and quiet and comfortable all the time. And what I'm trying to get at is through athletic training, I notice that so many people want to avoid stressful situations, like just in sports, but certainly I think in life. And I have found that the highest performing athletes who meet those challenges actually don't get scared of stressful situations. In fact, they embrace them. They're like, bring it on. They learn how to deal with them better, to get through them better, to perform at a higher level with all of that stress, that afterwards the level of satisfaction is just almost indescribable. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. And really what you're describing, Jonathan, is yoga science. You know, the words high-performance athletics would indicate to the casual observer that we're talking about a physical action. But in order for there to be a physical action, in order for there really to be high-performance athletics, it's all about training the mind. Because the body cannot even move without first entertaining a thought. So let me do a little yoga science experiment with you and for our listeners, just for a moment. I'm going to ask you simply to raise your right hand over your head and bring it back down to your side. Try that now and see if you can do that.
All right, Leonard, I did it. I was successful.
All right, that's excellent. Okay, so here's part B. I want you to raise your hand again up over your head and bring it back down. But in this situation, you cannot entertain any thoughts. There must be no thinking in the mind. So try now to see if the hand can go up and down without your thinking anything. Go ahead, try that.
Aw, that's impossible. I keep thinking about raising my hand.
It's impossible. Now, the hand has the potential to go up and down, but it is the mind that alerts the contraction of the muscles in a certain way for the hand and the arm to go up and back down again. So this is the basis of all yoga science, you see. Meditation is about training the mind to determine every moment the thought to think, the word to speak, and the action to take that will enable us to fulfill the purpose of our lives without pain, misery, and bondage. And in order to facilitate that, we need an evenness of mind beyond things that we like and beyond things that we don't like. Because if I like chocolate ice cream, and I like it very much, and I have it every meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, oh, that's going to be very bad for me. I'm going to be miserable. So we need to learn skills like detachment. I need to recognize that I have to create a space between stimulus and response. Otherwise, I just become a reactionary to the thoughts and the desires and the emotions that come into my awareness. I need a space between stimulus and response. I need a discrimination to know what's to be done and what's not to be done. I need willpower to serve my own inner wisdom. And that's what meditation and yoga science teaches us. If I were a golfer and I shanked my ball into a sand trap, and it took me three or four strokes to get out of the sand trap and onto the green, and I took a triple bogey, for those folks who understand about golf, if I took a triple bogey on that hole, and then when I went to the next tee for the next hole, where's my mind? I'll tell you where my mind is. It's back in the sand trap. So when I hear the phrase high-performance athletics, it tells me that that individual who is participating in high-performance athletics has a keen understanding of meditation and knows how to train the mind, because all action begins in the mind.
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful what you're saying. I want to throw out one other really interesting thing from what you just said about detachment. Probably let's go there a little bit and talk about a little bit more before we take our break. And then I definitely want to get into a little bit more what you meant by the bridge of yoga. I definitely want people to understand what you meant by that term. But Leonard, really quick, just from an outside perspective, this idea of detachment, what you were just talking about athletics or anybody who's dealing with a health crisis or trouble at their job, it really doesn't matter. Whatever the stress is, I've often found that when I worked with kids mostly who were interested in my past life before I was on the internet, I was coaching a lot of people in high-performance athletics, everything I had learned through my athletic background, and then teaching them, you know, the way to go. And what I noticed was that so often when bad things were happening, they would do exactly what you just said about the triple bogey, you know, not playing golf well, not hitting a tennis ball well, whatever it is, they just mope, they feel sorry about themselves, they immediately attach themselves to feeling horrible about themselves. And what I tried so hard always to show them in my body language, in my speech patterns, and the things I was trying to bring up to them is stop buying into those lies. Start understanding who you really are. And what I'm trying to get at, Leonard, is teaching them to attach themselves to something that's far more important than what might be happening right at that moment. Oh, you missed the shot. Big deal. The high-performance athletes are still focused on winning, let's say, or the trophy or the prize or the fact that they are still in it and that they have an opportunity to win still. And those things are what allow them to appear so even and steady through high pressure. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, absolutely. And in those kinds of situations where we take a misstep, so to speak, because from a yogic perspective, there is no failure. It's just a journey. But when we do take a misstep, there's something to learn. In baseball, for example, if you're at bat and you keep on swinging at a low outside curveball without examining what's really going on, then you're going to be striking out on a low outside fastball forever. But if you can bring that into the laboratory of your own mind and examine it and take a look at the videotapes and see how you're swinging at a pitch that is not hittable, well, then you can train the mind to observe and pick up that ball on its trajectory to the batter's box, and you will know not to swing. So, you know, it's like if you're a scientist, you're Thomas Edison, and you're looking for an economical way to create an element for an electric light bulb. And there's going to be lots of quote-unquote failures. But that didn't dissuade Edison. Each failure was a step closer to understanding what filament would work in an electric light bulb at a reasonable price. And that's the same with all of life, isn't it? It's all about making mid-course corrections. Remember When we were kids, Neil Armstrong was flying that little lunar module to the surface of the moon. And on the way down to the surface of the moon, there were all sorts of computers that were reading telemetry that were indicating to that astronaut, Neil Armstrong, how to fire his retro rockets in a certain sequence for certain time periods so that he would have a safe landing. So he was making mid-course corrections continuously, based on the information that was coming in. Well, you, as human beings, generally speaking, we don't do that. We become very attached to the suggestion of the ego. We become very attached to the limited perspective of the senses. We become attached to the power of our unconscious mind. We don't listen to our discrimination, our own discriminative faculty, our conscience, and that is the key to successful living. That's what you were referencing a couple of moments ago about the bridge of yoga.
So that's exactly it, Leonard. I'm going to definitely want to hear from you about what the bridge of yoga exactly is, but this is obviously a message for everybody. The way I look at it, yoga absolutely is, you know, body and mind. And it's as a tool. The physical exercises are really a tool, from what I've ever learned from yoga, to just really be in the here and now, to use some of these physical exercises, if you will, you know, when we go to a yoga class, let's say, to really just stay calm, to teach our mind to guide our body. It's a great sensation when you're all done. So hopefully we're turning more and more people onto the idea of taking a good look at yoga. I want to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. Okay, so Leonard, help us understand, what exactly is the bridge of yoga? What do you mean?
Well, Jonathan, yoga itself means union, and the bridge of yoga is a metaphoric bridge in our lives that inspires and instructs us to connect our outer actions, our thoughts, our words, and our deeds with our own inner intuitive wisdom. And we do that by employing our conscience. Our mind's conscience is very interesting. It acts exclusively as a mirror. That's what the conscience does for a living. The conscience acts as a mirror. And as a mirror, the conscience has the capacity to reflect wisdom from the superconscious portion of the mind. The superconscious portion of the mind lies beyond the conscious portion, beyond the unconscious. The superconscious portion of the mind is the same portion of the mind where Albert Einstein saw mathematical equations. It's the same portion of the mind where Paul McCartney hears beautiful melodies. Doesn't mean that I'm going to become a physicist, and Jonathan, you're not necessarily become a songwriter. What it does mean is that if you and I and all our listeners can simply use our conscience, this is known in Sanskrit as buddhi, if we can use our conscience to determine the thought to think, the word to speak, and the action to take, the promise is that particular action that we ultimately take, that word that we speak, and the thoughts that we continue to think will enable us to fulfill the purpose of life without pain, misery, or bondage. And so yoga science sets forth a hypothesis. When we use the bridge of yoga, the hypothesis says, to receive the truth of inner wisdom and then to employ it, we'll be led for our highest and greatest good. Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And at the same time, yoga science presents a corollary to that hypothesis, which is also tested, stating something to the effect that when we do not use the bridge of yoga, when we do not become detached from the limited perspective of the ego, the senses, and the unconscious mind, when we do not use the bridge of yoga and we do not base our outer actions on our inner wisdom, what happens is our outer actions, thought, word, and deed, then conflict with inner wisdom. And that's when we experience increasing amounts of stress, dis-ease, burnout, and pain. So it's not hearsay. It's not, hey, listen to me and trust me. It's, if you're interested, experiment for yourself. That's the only way that you'll know the truth.
Leonard, it can be sometimes, I guess, for somebody who's not used to this, a little bit of a scary thing. But I remember way back when I first started doing all these interviews, almost 500 now at this point, all these years ago, Dr. Bernie Siegel, who's a, you know, cancer surgeon, loved medicine and miracles, wrote best-selling books, just amazing guy, would often talk to people who are in the worst life situation in terms of their personal health. And he would actually say to them, you know, what do you really want to do? Do you want to have that surgery? Do you want to do the chemotherapy? You know, make your decision on your own. Don't go by what other people would have you do because that's, quote unquote, the right thing to do. Don't go by other people's opinions. Ask yourself what you really want to do. And a lot of times people weren't quite sure, but he would have them draw pictures. And through these pictures and the images that they would write out on paper, whether they were artistic or not, it didn't matter. What he saw in these pictures really revealed what was going on for real inside of them. And I think that's really a lot what you're speaking to, is trying to get people really in touch with what's going on inside of them. Ask more questions on your own. Listen very carefully to the answers that you give yourself. And then, of course, please take really good, appropriate actions based on what it is you're telling yourself, because most of the time, it's probably fair to say, you're right.
That's right. That's right. I'm so glad that you brought Bernie Siegel's name up. Bernie is a very dear friend of ours at American Meditation Institute. He's on our faculty and has taught many seminars and conferences with us. And you asked the question that Bernie often asks, what do you really want to do? And what that question does is it directs your awareness back to yourself. And wasn't it Shakespeare said, who above all else to thine own self be true? So in the ancient scriptures, in what is referred to as the Upanishads in ancient India, there's a marvelous quote that says, you are your deepest driving desire. As your deepest driving desire is, so is your will. As your will is, so is your deed. As your deed is, so is your destiny. You are your deepest driving desire. As your deepest driving desire is, so is your will. As your will is, so is your deed. As your deed is, so becomes your destiny. So it's critically important that we get in touch with ourselves. I can't tell anybody else what to do and what not to do. I have a hard enough time figuring that out for myself. It's all an internal process. But the promise is, if you use the bridge of yoga to access the superconscious portion of the mind within your own self, you will know the thought to think, the word to speak, and the action to take that will lead you for your highest and greatest good. That engenders self-confidence.
So we have some really exciting news coming up in just a moment, so don't go away. We're going to be talking about something that's going to be very important if you want to learn more about this topic and all about the American Meditation Institute. But first, one last time, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. Okay, Leonard, you've got, I mean, this is, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe the ninth year or something that this conference is coming up very soon in October. I want you to talk about all the speakers that are going to be there, because this should be a mind-blowing experience, no pun intended, and talk about what they're going to be speaking about. Go ahead.
Well, thank you very much. That's very, very nice. Yes, this is the ninth annual comprehensive training in yoga science as holistic mind-body medicine. It's been endorsed by the American Medical Association, by the American Nurses Association. Basically, it teaches the core curriculum of the heart and science of yoga to physicians, nurses, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, psychologists, and we will be having a marvelous conference and wonderful faculty. I will be presenting the core curriculum of yoga science. Dr. Susan Lord will be presenting food as medicine. Dr. Beth Netter will be presenting breath as medicine. Mark Pettis, who is a marvelous speaker, Dr. Mark Pettis will be speaking about epigenomics, inflammation, and the allostatic load. This is all in relationship to yoga science now. Remember, every one of these speakers speaking from their own personal experience with yoga science and meditation, this just happens to be their specialty that they work with as a physician, and they are teaching all of us. And so Dr. Prashant Kaushik and Dr. Anthony Santilli will both be speaking about physician burnout and how they have reversed their own burnout condition through meditation and yoga science. Dr. Jyoti Bhatt will be talking about Ayurveda. Dr. Sarah Lazar from Harvard will be coming to speak about neuroplasticity, the effect of meditation on the brain. Not only can meditation help the software and re-engineer the software, but can re-engineer the brain as well. So we can change the software through meditation, Dr. Lazar will be telling us, and also the hardware. Dr. Jesse Ritvo will be coming, and he will be talking about alleviating trauma, PTSD, and building resilience. And I will also be talking about the chakra system as a diagnostic tool. And the conference will be October 24th through the 28th at the Cranwell Resort and Spa. That's in Lenox, Massachusetts. And information can be derived by just contacting me at AmericanMeditation.org. AmericanMeditation.org. I appreciate very much the opportunity. Thank you, Jonathan.
Oh, Leonard, yeah, it's my pleasure. And, you know, there's so much information out there. When someone says, I don't know what to do, here it is. I mean, if you've got a healthcare provider who's a friend of yours, suggest this conference. It's a great thing to do. Do you have to be a healthcare provider to go?
No, you do not. We do have just the, you know, lay people, but it's primarily for physicians and nurses.
Leonard, great information. I so appreciate your time. Thanks again.
Thank you.
The show was brought to you by NaturalHealth365.com. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit NaturalHealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us next week for another great show.